Welcome back to the SC Halfback Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Namofsky. Very happy today. Obviously, round two, Teamless Carnage came out. I couldn't do this by myself. I needed my prop partner here. So I guess he's the Leota to my Fisher Harris. It is Nom. Nom, how are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, mate. It's been a while between takes, but good to be back on the mic.
Yeah, look, like I said, I needed you on this one because this was a big one. Obviously, got behind the saddle round one, but round two, it's the big week, right? Round three, it's the big one where we're looking at potentially who to bring in. Obviously, a very critical classic round in draft. It's also, this is where you can kind of make a few little moves here if you're picked early in the drafts and the waivers. So let's get right into it, mate. The week that was. It was a wild week in Supercoach. A lot of high scores. We obviously had guys like Mulatalo go 116. We have Tungo 145, Hosking 109. Who was the standout performer for you last week from Supercoach in terms of just what you didn't expect and when they came out of this brained it?
Oh, who I didn't expect. Well, I don't think anyone expected Hosking to go so well. Unfortunately, he's been dropped, which to the dismay of many Supercoaches who are going to bring him in and, you know, milk that 100k.
Lots of reverse trades today. I think he was the most highly traded in player in round three. I was having a little semi look because that break even was just too high. But yeah, to me now, he with Elliot Whitehead there, I think that's pretty much a done deal now. That 100 average will just have to be there. And if you do jump on it, fair play to you, you'll get a couple of price rises, but it's going to be an instant trade out, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, Stick, he doesn't have us super coaches in mind, unfortunately.
Also, I guess in the week, the similar story to round one, the guns just really didn't show. Cleary Hines improved into the 70s. The fullbacks, you had Walsh and Latrell on Thursday, but then really Ponga, Drinkwater, Turbo, all not really cracking. It was Pappenhausen coming back with a barnstorming effort. So if you jumped on Little Pappy, well done to you.
Yeah, that's right. I actually did have him in my classic. So that shot me right up through the ranks after a horrible first week. I've ended up cracking the 1,000 mark this week after getting sub 750 in the first week.
So do you have your overall rank there, Nom? Because I'm going off. I was 950, I think. No, I was 870 in the first week and then 978. So I'm ranked 60,000 nearly on the dot now. So right around that halfway point, top 42%.
Yeah, I'm 72,000. So I've climbed up 40,000 ranks thanks to Pappy. So that's good.
Yeah, I think that's a great lesson for any first-time super coaches listening. Yes, you could be, you know, very, very low, but these opening weeks, everyone's got pretty similar sides. You'll be scoring low if everyone's scoring low. But then if you have a couple of nice pods come in and a couple of good captaincy options, anyone who captained Pappenhausen last week would have shot up the rankings. So definitely one to watch there. Who were the guys, Nom? We spoke about, leave out those superstar fullbacks. Who's someone so far that you look at and go, oh, after week two, I'm not sure. I'm not really liking what I either bought or drafted so far.
Yeah, well, it's hard to go past KP right there. The Knights started from 0-2. Everyone looked at the draw, thought, you know, we'd, you know, smash the Raiders. That didn't quite happen. We actually had an ambush. Last week, I know a lot of people have captain KP, and yeah, to hit sub 50, that's a bit disheartening.
Yeah, I started with KP and Drinkwater. I captained each of them the first 2 weeks. Pong got me a 50, so he got me 100, and then Drinkwater had a 62, so 120 odds. So I'm still waiting for that huge captain score, but I've got my guns, so I'm going to stick to my guns. But let's get into tackle number two here on the set of six. Let's go to the team list, have a quick squiz. Like I said at the start, Carnage. First game of the round, Broncos, Panthers, no Adam Reynolds. So Panthers will go in heavy favorites here, Nom.
Yeah, I think so. The Panthers looked good last week. And with Broncos, no A-Ray and, you know, Payne Haas with a question mark. I think, yeah, it's going to be hard to stand up to this Panthers forward pack here.
Next game, Warriors-Raiders. Really nice game. Obviously, the Raiders starting 2-0, Warriors 0-2. So Warriors kind of need to get this one here. But in terms of the lineup, Wade Egan is named and we'll see if he does play. And for the Raiders, no Seb Chris. So you've got Nick Kotrick joining this lineup. You mentioned it, the big one there. Zach Hosking dropped from the starting lineup. So Elliot Whitehead goes into the second row and Zach Hosking to the bench there.
Yeah, that's a crying shame. I mean, after Hosking's effort, you'd think it was very hard to drop him, but I guess with your captain coming back, yeah, it is very disappointing.
Next game, the big clash on Friday night, Roosters versus Rabbits. For the Roosters, obviously no Luke Keary, so Sandon Smith gets a run. We'll bring him up later in the podcast. You got Sia Wong dropped, so you got Nat Butcher into the starting side, and Angus Crichton, one of our mate Chris's favourites, returning on the bench. Tyrrell May named on the bench as well, so we'll see if he's a late switch on game day. For the Bunnies, Jack Wydenham, he's in the starting lineup here, so he's someone from a draft perspective. He obviously, if you sat on him for the first couple of weeks, or he's on a waiver, a huge pickup, but the changes keep coming. Dean Hawkins in for Ilias. You got Jacob Hose there on the edge. That pushes Talis Duncan obviously back to the bench there where he was named last week. Shaq Mitchell out of the team altogether. David Mualli up front. So I think the Souths Bunnies are really knowing this is a bit of a do or die match here. You can't go 0-3 and lose to your arch rivals here.
Yeah, that's right. The Bunnies, yeah, they didn't look too good to start the season, and losing your halfback, to be fair, I guess Dumitru, he's shaking things up and sending a message. So hopefully these Bunnies can bounce back against their arch rivals here.
The next game of the week, this is the take your girlfriend or wife out, don't watch the game and get one of those Browning points back. It's Dogs versus Titans at Belmore. For the Doggies, Liam Knight in the starting side. Other than that, no real changes from a super coach perspective. Blake Taff's still the fullback there. For the Titans, Kieran Foran's back, so you'd hope that would have a bit of an effect, but still no JC, still no Fifita there, Nom.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess if you're holding those two, I mean, you're happy that Kieran Foran comes back. At least it gives us give that left side a bit more bite. So it could be a good round to have AKP, a sort of plug and play against this Dogs defense, which has sort of looked a bit soft to start the season.
Next game, Dragons Cowboys. So this is going to be my Scott Drinkwater VC here. For the Dragons, you've got no Jacob Little, so Jesse Marschke comes into the starting lineup there. Lucci Lealua into the 2RF. And for the Cowboys, like I said, Finny Fiuaki in for Heelan Luke, who's going to be on a bit of an extended break there. But unfortunately, Jack Kajeski, from a supercoach sense, joins that pack. So a definite one to watch there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, everyone would love Finafuaki to play big minutes here, but he's a PPM beast. But we'll see how he goes with minute sharing with Jack.
Sharks Tigers the next game. This is going to be, if you bought Nicho Hynes from the start, this is the game you had circled. This is the one where if someone's going to go 150, 170, 200 in his opening weeks, this is hopefully the game. So we got for the Tigers, you've got Justin Olam making his club debut. He obviously had Stafford Toa out there with an injury. Galvin is still at six. So very exciting there from a classic sense. Get him another week of him. Aiden Caesar is at halfback. That was means Bud Sullivan has been dropped. Pole is a starting lock, so Seafarth goes back to the bench. And for the Sharkies, obviously your boy Britton Nicora out suspended. So Jack Williams comes onto that starting edge, and Billy Burns gets a crack on the interchange man. So I'm very excited to talk about him a little bit later, Nom.
Yeah, Billy Burns. Is he a 2RF by
Yeah,
or
2RFC. He was with the
taking
Dragons
from?
last year from a
Yeah, right.
supercoach, averaged around that 52 to 55 mark. But I think on this
Okay.
edge, potentially off Nico's hip could be interesting, but we'll move on to the next game. A couple more here. Eels Manly on Sunday, 4:05. For Parramatta, you've got no Bailey Simonson, so Blaze Taulagi comes in. Very excited to see him go. Joey Lussick is the nine, no Brendan Hands. So if you're a Joey Lussick owner, rejoice there. For Manly, no Tommy Talahi's in the reserve, so Vega is a starting winger there. And then you've obviously got no Josh Schuster still. So if you're a Berber owner, very, very happy there.
Yeah, 100% there. Yeah, no hands. So that means Brad Arthur has been true to his word, going with the 80-minute hooker here.
Yeah, unfortunately he didn't do that from round one, so we all had clarity and just
Yeah,
picked instead of having to try and nuff it out in another area, but it is what it is. Last game of the round, your team, the Knights, playing the Melbourne Storm. For the Knights, they've rung in the changes. So obviously, big news, Greg Marzio out for it looks like about 4 weeks. So Inari Tuala comes back from his quad issue. Tom Jenkins moves to the other wing. You've got Jack Cogger in the seven now. We all thought Cogger would make the starting side, but we thought it'll be next to Hastings, not in place of Hastings. So Gamble and Cogger, the half pairing there. And Kai Piss-Poor, maintains the edge spot. So it looks like Dylan Lucas is in the reserves, but from all reports, it looks like Kuypers Paul has that spot. For the Storm, you've got no Jerome Hughes suspended, so Tyrone Wishart comes into the seven. Jonah Pezza still in for Cam Munster in the six. And then you've obviously got a bit of a restructure in the forward pack with no Christian Welch there. But interestingly, boy, Nom, your boy, Sualofa-Ilunga, nowhere to be seen here, not even in the reserves.
Yeah, we heard a bit, some whispers here that he might be coming in for some backline cover, but unfortunately not to be, especially after that performance for the North Sydney Bears. I thought he would be a shoo-in to get some game time this year soon.
Yeah, bellyache taking him along slowly there. Let's get into the third tackle, Nom. So team list done. Let's look at some waiver targets. So it's a very interesting week, like I said. You wanted to try and nail one of these free agent waivers early on, but there is still some value to be had. And if you do, the easiest way to check this, guys, if you go into your app, go into the players tab, and they've got in one of the settings there, picked by percentage in leagues. And that will kind of show you. You know, for example, Payne Haas is picked in 99.8%. So basically every comp has Payne Haas picked. So it's always good. I always look at the waivers and, you know, you've got 8-man, 10-man, 12, and even some crazy guys doing 14. I always like thinking around that, you know, 15 and below. That's what I think will be on most waivers. And there are a few guys here I want to talk about, Nom, very quickly. So the first guy that I'm really keen to see what he does this week is obviously mentioned in one of the TLTs, Angus Crichton. I think he's going to be definitely picked up in a lot of leagues. Don't know if he's going to crack the starting side, but Australia back rower, you've just got to take the punt, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, season's gone past. I mean, before he had his struggles last season, I think a lot of people had him in the first two rounds, really, coming off that Kangaroos tour. But yeah, whether or not he can start this side, I mean, I don't know if I'd be willing to take a punt with him until I sort of know that he's starting. But look, if you've got space on your bench, look, more than happy to, power to you if you want to take a gamble on your form gun.
8% of the league, so he's, you know, for Angus Crichton, that's pretty criminal. So I think he will definitely be picked up, and we'll see that percentage jump up tomorrow. Lindsay Smith, mentioned him off mic to you, and I put a post out today. He's at 6% of leagues with no Fisher Harris. We're unclear of how long he's going to step into that starting side. I think he's in for a bit of an uptick here. I think you're looking at probably a 50 to 55 in your front row. Someone like me who's eyeing the position right now, either for the second front row forward or just picking up and streaming waivers, I think he's a very nice waiver pick today with Lindsay Smith.
Yeah, could definitely do a job. I mean, if starting an uptick in minutes, you could easily see him pump out that 50, 55 for a front row, which is all you really need.
Sandon Smith, 4.8% of leagues. This is a guy, like I said, he's going to come in for Luke Keary. Knowing Luke Keary's injury history with those concussions, it could be extended. When he did come on last year, he looked very, very strong. And I think he has got a very friendly Supercoach game. So very excited. And I think he will be a very highly touted waiver. I think that 4.8 goes past the 20% overnight.
Is he does he have dual position there, Sandon?
No dual, only halfback.
Hurts a bit, but yeah, look, if you need a plug and play this week, yeah, great option.
Someone that I think will be very high on waivers, I'm just going to caution, is Jock Madden. He's in 4.3% of leagues. He's a dual 5'8 halfback. I just think this is going to run exclusively through Mam and Walsh. So I think if you're expecting, you know, that 55 to 60 that A-Ray will be getting you, I think you might be leading astray. I don't mind a low waiver on him, but I would not put a first round waiver in for him overnight. A couple more guys he will mention. Like I said, most of those guys that are going to be playing will be picked, but Fini Fuiaki, he's in 2% of leagues right now. I think he's probably one of the better waiver targets tonight. Like I said, pretty unsure there with Gajewski on the bench, but it's definitely worth the punt if he can come out and perform like Lukey and Nana has in the past.
Yeah, look, I'm definitely tempted. I think I've got either top or second top waiver pick, and I'm needing a 2RF to start. So I've got my sort of little project 2RFs in KPP, Kuypers Paul, and Duncan. Not sure about Duncan's minutes, so might be finding himself in the waiver wire. But I've got a few options at the moment. He's definitely on my shortlist there.
Last guy I'll mention in this little category here, Dean Hawkins, obviously coming in for Lachlan Ilias. From what I've seen of Dean, he's a bit more of a guy who wants to get his hands on the ball and overcall, which could benefit him and get him, nice combinations with his back rower. 0.6% of leagues right now. That will skyrocket tonight. I think if you are streaming halfback, he's a definite watch because the fact that they've gone away from Ilias tells me that Dean Hawkins has pretty good security. They're going to give him a bit of a run here. So I do like Dean Hawkins as a nice early waiver pickup tonight.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of him, to be honest, but I'll take your word for it.
Let's get into the next tackle here. So this one I wanted to bring you on, Nom. This is, like I said, in a draft league, these are kind of the critical weeks now. People who are going to be having their picks, they're going to be very unhappy with their picks. It could be suspension, injury, poor performance. This is the time to go and get some of those guns that you can get at a discount. Or it could be someone who you drafted very late, has done very well, and you want to try and sell high and get maximum value. Let me start off the first guy here. It's your boy, Britton Nicora. He's currently got a 41 average over those two games, including the 25 last week, suspended for 2 weeks. You obviously know because you've got lots of trade requests already for him, but this is a great week to try and go around and get Nicara.
Yeah, 100%, especially if they're desperate to sort of fill a void there. Nicora, I mean, I personally picked him up second, third round just so I can sort of have the combination with Hines there. But yeah, Nicora, if you spend a top 30 pick on him, and those are sort of, if you know how to play your man and get those rage traders, he's definitely definitely at his lowest at the moment.
100%. The next guy I want to bring up, just because I think right now that owner could be panicking, is Cam Munster. Obviously, hasn't played. We don't know the injury. To me, he's someone who you definitely want to go out and target. You may not have him. If you've got a player at 5'8" you can plug, just go try and grab him.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Munster, I mean, he would have been a easily second round pick, at least in our league. And yeah, with it, with If that player is finding himself in the bottom ladder, he's definitely an easy target if you want to go grab a bite of that Monster Cherry there.
Unsure if this is a sell high or just an overreaction to last week, but I think Zach Lomax probably falls into that category, that huge round one. Still got a 44 in a team that got held scoreless, but I think this is probably the peak value you'll be able to try and get for Zach Lomax if you are someone who is light in other areas and do want to try and sell.
I don't agree with that. Zach Lomax owner. Look, again, I think, well, we've got to see him up too. We've seen his, I guess, highs of 100 plus, and then I think I saw a comment of him that he's a sort of Kiraz with goal kicking, and I disagree with that. I mean, if he's a sort of set and forget 40, 50, that's his, that's his floor. I'm happy to hold on to him a bit longer there.
I think one of the absolute sell highs of all time is Ronaldo Mulitalo. He's currently averaging 101. He started the season like gangbusters, but being the Ronaldo owner from last year in our league, this is absolute peak. He's scoring tries for fun, he's setting them up. You know what? You might want to keep him all year, but if you could sell Ronaldo right now and try and get into that Tungo, Marzu, Val Holmes areas, this is a. I'm telling you, there could be some leagues where someone is very enticed, especially the Nico owner potentially wants to try and partner up, and he's got a gun CTW. I don't mind trying to sell him and try and get him out of your team.
Yeah, with that 101 average, yeah, definitely at his highest at the moment.
Another guy who's a bit of a buy low at the moment is Sam Walker, only averaging 33 on the season after a 12 on the weekend. I think with no Luke Keary for a couple of weeks here, this is the time to go get yourself a Sam Walker and watch him start blossoming under this lineup.
Yeah, I can't believe the score I'm looking at. He's got like 12 points last week. Yeah, especially this Sydney Roosters side, sorry. They're looking quite good, and with Sam Walker being their goal kicking half, yeah, surely he's only just going to warm up as the season goes on.
Last guy we'll mention here in the sell low, buy low. To me, any Tigers, any Dragons, any Dogs, I think any of those bottom teams, I think the guys who draft those guys are going to try and sell pretty low just to get out of those guys. I think there's a few guys with a bit of value. So if you know, thinking from the Tigers, I think Buller, I think Galvin, I think Papali'i. For the Dogs, obviously Burton, you got Kiraz, Dragons, Lomax. I think you're just going to try and find the guys that people are very sour on and just try and go get a deal for yourself.
Yeah, especially those Tigers. I mean, first game, hard to go too hard on them, but geez, they look really rough.
All right, let's get into the fifth tackle, mate. Classic trades for the week. So I talked a bit of offline. You start us off here. Did you use any trades in the first week?
None in the first week, none in
Okay,
the
so you're
second
in
week.
my boat here. We haven't used a trade yet. So you've still got 46 trades in the bank. What are you planning to do this week? Are you planning to go heavy with a two trades or a
Boost.
boost, or are you going to go zero trades?
Yeah, look, I'm sort of forced in my hands here with how the sort of teams have turned out. So three trades. I am one of the few that didn't go with Taylor May. So I've got him in for Bradman Best. I just had my sort of blue and red goggles there. My second trade, Hands, I started with him just because Brad Arthur was playing who's who for hooker, so I brought in Joey Lusick to cash in on that cash. And third and final is Terrell May. He's he's been, what's he averaging, like 60, 65 at the moment? Yeah, hard not to
Yeah,
go past him.
they're good trades, and I think you obviously make a bit of cash there as well. For me, like I said to you off mic, I've got Lukey in my team, and I've got Faumasili. So there's two guys that are not playing for an extended period here. I'm just looking at the options. I don't have Lusick. I've got Levi. I'm pretty happy just to keep him. I don't want to waste a trade on hooker because I wasn't planning to play a second hooker anyway. The way I structured my team earlier to start the season, I brought in all my guns that I needed to bring in. So there's no one I'm really wanting to upgrade to, so to speak, yet. So I don't mind holding Lukey for a week here just to kind of see. I want to see Finian Fuaki for one more week. I want to see Josh Curran's role one more time to see if he's still going to get these big bulk minutes. I'm pretty happy to sit on my hands here. I don't mind getting into round three, not using a trade at all, and then saving six trades at this stage of the season could be pretty handy for the back end. So at this stage, maybe one to move on Lukey. I think I'm going to leave hooker for as it is. But right now, I'm leaning no trade unless something really stands out to me as we get closer to the end of the round.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I feel like you're going to be one of the minority there. You're not tempted by Lusick's cash there.
Now, like I said, I've got Grant as my starting hooker, and I've got Levi
Yeah.
as my bit of a cash
Yeah.
gen. And my plan was always, if Levi can get up to about 400K, I was just going to go and nut that position out and just bank the 200K and just run with Grant and then AE if Grant doesn't play. That was always my plan. So I don't think I'm going to waste a trade because if I trade out Levi for Lusick, logic would dictate I would then have to trade out Lusick for someone else to bank that cash again. So now up to two trades in my hooker position where I didn't want to make one at all. So yeah, right now, no Lusick. And like I said, Lukey, if I see a guy that stands out that to make that trade, I will, but I'm kind of leaning towards not doing it right now. But again, we'll see how it plays out.
Who are your two RFs again? Sorry, mate.
So I've got Fermor, Lane, Piakoura starting. I've got Smithies as my on the bench reserve. I've got Joe Chan and I've got Lukey. So like I said,
Yeah,
Lukey to
pretty
Finny
solid.
Fuaraki could work. But once I see if he's getting 65 plus minutes on the edge, or I have got Fifita in my Viliami Fifita in my front row, I can bring down to my second row via dual and buy a prop. Someone like, if I think Lindsay Smith's gonna have a good month, I could go bring in Lindsay Smith. But again, I got Sam Hughes as my second 2RF. He's getting me 30 every week. I don't mind. Again, don't want to waste trades on positions that I don't want for the cash I don't want. That's, I think, my big plan here.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
So again, guys, I'll post on my socials, do a couple of videos throughout the week, see how I'm feeling. But yeah, right now, leaning no trades there. But let's finish this off. Let's wrap it up. Nom, give me a round three thought. What do you think is going to happen in round three? Whether it's a gun go big, some new cash gens come up. What's going to happen in round three when we're talking about the end of the round?
Ooh, round three. Let me just bring up the draw here, sorry. Well, let me just look at the matchups here. Look, I think to start off the week, you've got Panthers, Broncos. I think that will go favorites. I think Warriors will definitely snag their first win against the Raiders. The Warriors, I believe, they have been pretty hard done by not to get a win so far, especially the way the Storm sort of stashed that last week. So you can definitely see the Warriors getting their first win. I'm hoping for Nico to hit his first ton against the Tigers. And yeah, got some good matches on Sunday between the Eels and Sea Eagles and Knights and Storms. I'm hoping that the Knights can snag their first win there. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think this is the week the guns return. I think there's going to be, out of those kind of top six guns, I think three are going to go ballistic between Hines, Cleary, Drinkwater, Ponga, Turbo. There's some really, really nice matchups. So I'm very excited for this week. I think this is going to be one of those ones you've got to really nail the captaincy this week. I think there might be a bit of a swing this week. So really stay on the tune. Watch the team lineups, the breaking news, because I think this is a big moving week. We'll leave it there, Nom. That is the set of six. Nom, thank you for coming on again, mate.
No worries. Always a pleasure to be back.
And everyone, like I said, posting up every day. There will be some videos. Shoot through any questions you have, and I will keep you fluid with what we do for trade. So thank you guys for listening. Have a great day, and hear from you soon. Cheers.